Hello and welcome to the Small Church Mentor Podcast, where we work to empower the pastors, leadership, and members of small churches to be what God wants them to be. Hi, I'm your host, Gary Fuhr, and I'm proud to serve you today. Today's topic, we can't do that. You know, sometimes God tasks us with a task that feels too great for us, and I've talked about it before in the church that I pastor. We run a food pantry, and quite frankly, starting that food pantry was that for me. It just seemed like it was a task that was too big and we couldn't do it. However, my wife and with the help of my sister was really insistent on starting it. I wouldn't dare to say that my wife nagged me or anything like that, because today she is sitting right next to me. And within arm's reach of me, there is no way I'm going to say anything derogatory. But I'd love to introduce you to my wife, Sarah, and I'll just ask her to say hi to you.
Hello.
And so, have you ever been on a radio show or podcast before?
I don't think so, no.
Did you ever call in and do some stupid thing to win tickets for anything?
No.
No, nothing like that? All right, so a little history on the food pantry, and we were talking a little bit just before we started the podcast. And my wife pointed out to me that my history is a little bit off as far as timeline goes. But I remember about a year after we were married, a year and a few months after we were married, we went down to old Mexico, Sinaloa State, Mexico. We were riding in an old van with a, I wouldn't say old pastor, but a pastor from down in Missouri. And he was taking some food in a trailer, a covered trailer, behind the old Ford van. And I noticed that my wife kept asking him all sorts of questions, just kept asking him about the pantry, how many feeds and how to get the food and different things like that. And I should have known then that trip would forever change our life. And so I thought I'd bring my wife on board and just kind of ask her some questions. So Sarah, on that trip to Mexico, like I said, you kept asking Brother Skaggs a lot of questions. And why were you asking him so many questions? Did you have devious plans in mind?
No, I just thought it was fascinating. I had known Brother Skaggs for most of my life and had been on the receiving end of his donations before at the church I was from in Arkansas. And I remember thinking that was interesting. How did he get this food? You know, how is he able to access this things in bulk like that? And so on the trip, it was just, we were riding. We had lots of time. It was a fascinating topic to me. So, you know, I asked questions. I was curious.
Yeah. I remember that was a wild trip, because I used to mechanic in the past, and the van kept breaking down, if you remember, trying to be the hero a little bit. And I remember one time, I think it was in Arizona, I took a gas bath.
Yeah.
How'd that smell?
Bad.
And so just curious, so we come home, and you said it took how many years until you started it?
I believe it was 3 years, because it was 2003 when we finally started the pantry, because it'll be 14 years this August.
And our trip was in 2001?
Yeah. So in between those couple years in between, because our church is right on the street, we have a lot of people walk in, people in need, you know, quite often people come in, they need food, we would take them to the grocery store. And I just remember thinking, there's got to be a more efficient and cost-effective way to help people, rather than taking one family to the grocery store, spending $50 to $100, and them just barely having food for a week. And at that point, I think I had set up a shelf in the church basement that I'd brought some extra stuff from home, and I'd asked for donations. So just when people came in and they were desperate, we could say, hey, here's a can of soup, or, you know, here's something to get you by for now. And so it kind of started small there, but the more people we helped, I think it was when we had that large family attending our church that we would buy groceries for sometimes. I remember thinking, oh my goodness, you know, I'd like to help them more. I'd like to help more people in this situation. But the money just doesn't go far enough when you're buying at retail at a grocery store.
So you decided, to look into it a little bit more. And do you remember my biggest challenge about doing the pantry?
You think we have enough money?
I didn't think we'd have enough money. The resources were going to be tough. So what was your answer to that?
If it's God's will, it'll be provided for.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I don't like hearing that. But absolutely, absolutely. And we found that it was. So what was some of your steps that you did to research it?
You know, I had never been in a food pantry before, didn't even know what a food bank was. So that's where your sister came into play. She was able to help with the research on that. And somehow we found that there was a food bank in Rockford. So we called and talked to them and found out what was required to become a food pantry and be able to buy food in bulk through them. And I would just remember being blown away when I found out food was about 10 cents a pound and some stuff was free. Now, over the years, it's gone gradually up, but it's still very, very cheap when you think about it. And I think most years we can feed a person for less than a dollar, and that's about 4 days worth of food at least. And that's still true now. So we went through, we found food bank that we could buy the food in. We had to go through inspection. We had to have a certain area set up. Set apart for the food pantry. We had to have pest control. We had to have the health department inspect it. So, I mean, all those things are great. You want the food to be safe. You want it to be sanitary conditions. So we had to get equipment. Somebody donated a freezer. We just kind of started out small. I think when we first started, we just wanted word to get around by mouth because we didn't want to be overwhelmed. I mean, that's great. We wanted to just grow gradually, you know, organically. So I think there was pantries when we first started that we might have one or two people show up.
Right.
You know?
I remember that, yep.
Yeah, and then word got around.
As a matter of fact, do you remember the it wasn't one of the first nights, but one of the requirements we had was to have a door on where we have our pantry that we could actually lock.
Yeah.
And it was actually during a pantry night because we were so slow during them that we hung the door up.
I don't remember that, but it sounds about right.
Yeah, I was sitting there with boards and a saw cutting boards off as people were walking in. So I got to say, though, for anybody that might be listening and thinking, well, we could never do something like this. Our church building was built in the 40s. And quite frankly, if we were to do upgrades, the requirements, the health inspector would require certain types of upgrades, but because it's a pre-existing, they allow us certain freedom. So don't think that we didn't put a huge expense into this. We started with 6 foot of shelving in the kitchen.
Yeah. Yeah, and then as we, over the years, you know, we were able to purchase freezers. We've had a couple of them donated that were, you know, sometimes there's certain specifications. You have to have a commercial-grade freezer or commercial-grade refrigerator. You have to check the thermometers regularly and make sure they're maintaining a good temperature. But and we did end up finally purchasing a large amount of shelving, but we just kind of gradually expanded. And so I think where we're at now, we've had it in that place for about 5 years, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Five, 6 years.
Maybe a little more, too. I don't remember for sure. Yeah, I remember going to get the shelving. Mm-hmm. There was a pet store in Tennessee that closed down. And Sarah had a 94 Chevy Suburban, and we borrowed a trailer, and I drove down to Tennessee. And some of those curves around Tennessee, I swear I saw my taillights on the trailer as I was curving around them. But we got it. We come home and set it up. And so it's almost 15 years into this now. And so what are some of the big trials you had in the midst of this?
Well, in those 14 years, we only once ever have we had to ask for money, and that was last November. We normally try to provide Thanksgiving meals to about 40 or 50 families, but those Thanksgiving meals cost about, I think it's about $25 each. No, $15, that's it. And it's turkey and everything else completed. But when you think about 40 or 50 families, you know, $15 each, it really adds up. So we did an open house style thing where we hope people would come in and take a tour and donate. And we really didn't have that many people show up, but the donations really came in. And that was pretty amazing, over and above what we needed for the Thanksgiving. And so that's the only time we've ever asked. God just lays it on people's heart to give, and I know some really generous people, and it's always been there. It's always been provided, and The one thing I think a challenge is I thought, okay, you know, is this going to get to be too much work for me? And God has always sent volunteers along. Some volunteers come for a little while and then they go, and some have just stayed the whole time. I mean, mainly that's me and my husband.
Yes.
But I'm not afraid of working hard. We've had three of our children since we've started the food pantry. So sometimes I had a baby on a hip and carrying a box with the other hand, or getting food for someone with the other hand. So if you have, you feel, you know, God's calling you to do this, I mean, you can make it work. Right now, I think we have about 35 volunteers a month that help at different times. We're open every week. And it's really great because the volunteers are a great way to also a ministry of those that come into your to the pantry, and how you get to know them and help them and everything.
That was one of the dynamics that I don't remember when, but it just became clear to me, and it was so surprising to me that, yes, we're ministering to the people we're giving food to, but ministering to our volunteers that don't know the Lord was really big also. And so I think it's really cool. You're talking about this, and I think it's really cool how somebody listening may be saying, well, I'm not interested in starting a pantry, and I'll say join the club. Neither was I. But if your wife is interested in it, just go ahead and do it. And my wife is really, really good, and she had the vision, and she had the heart, and it spread to my sister and then to my mentor and pastor for so many years. And I think that's how they finally convinced me. It was by sheer numbers and peer pressure I finally caved. But maybe your ministry isn't the pantry, as the listener. Maybe your ministry isn't the pantry. Maybe you have a heart to minister. Maybe you're not in leadership of the church, but you have a heart to minister. And one theme that I've heard Sarah say over and over again through this 12 minutes of our podcast so far was simply that God supplied. And it has been really neat. And we saw this down at the mission, if you remember, with a couple in our church that they worked at, they pastored an outreach mission, is they found that whenever somebody stopped coming, a helper stopped coming, or the money stopped coming in, God always opened up another door for them. And so if you're looking to start something, whether it's a pantry or something else, don't let the resources scare you away. Trust God. Trust God. Step out there and start it. And I didn't trust God so much. I started it with 6 foot of shelving space in the kitchen, like Sarah said, there for a while. She was bringing our old food that we wouldn't eat. I guess I'm a picky eater. But she'd bring some of what we had at home that was sitting there, and that way we had some in different ways. So, all right, so that was some of the trials. It's really funny how you talk about the trials. They seem more like payoffs, but...
There's more than that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, that's some of the trials, yeah.
Yeah, there's always difficulties, but...
So what's some of the payoffs that you had from this? Some of them wonderful things that when somebody comes to you and says, hey... why do you do this? You're like, oh, let me tell you about, and we're not going to give any names, but let me tell you about this one and this thing that happened.
Well, definitely it would be the people I've met through the pantry. That there's several people that come to our church now that we met through the food pantry, and if we didn't have that opportunity, I don't know if we would have. I think I love hearing when... somebody comes to the food pantry, then we don't see them for a while. They come back, and I was like, hey, I haven't seen you in a while. And they say, well, I got a job, and I'm doing really good, and I just want to say thank you, you know, and I really don't need a food pantry anymore.
That's really cool.
So that's not real common, but it's very rewarding when you see and get to hear that success story. I mean, you have those that are always going to need help. They're stuck in a cycle or stuck in the system or
generational. I think we have three generations in a couple families.
Yeah. And sometimes it's just, I don't know how they can't see the mistake their parents are making and not want to change, but for whatever reason it is, they don't. And so a lot of times, you know, we've got grandmas raising grandbabies and just a lot of sad stories. So when you can have a bright, happy story every once in a while, it's wonderful.
You've made a lot of friends too in the pantry, and that's really neat how that works out. Now everything you do has a cost. It's just you have to give up something to get something. And that's just, when we got married, you gave up an old, lonely life for something as wonderful as...
That's true.
Well,
that's true.
anyway, a little self-serving. But anyway, everything has a cost. Not speaking of the monetary cost, because this does cost us personally, which is fine. Not a whole lot anymore. Maybe more at the beginning. But not counting the monetary cost, what has the pantry cost you personally? Because I got to tell the listeners that as she's sitting here rattling off how much the Thanksgiving baskets cost, how much we spend per person to eat for 4 days, how many volunteers we have, that's all in her head. She doesn't have this stuff written down. And it's remarkable to watch her function. Somebody else could step in and run it if they needed to. Obviously, there's other food pantries without my wife. But nonetheless, she does this all in her head. So this is very much a ministry that she's birthed and God's ministry for her that she's birthed. And so when I ask her what it's cost her, I haven't asked her this before, so I'm really interested in the answer to it.
You know, I guess I would say it has cost me some time and energy. I probably put on average about 8 hours a week in the food pantry. Usually every Monday is taken up with the food pantry, sometimes the whole day, sometimes the half a day. And then there's paperwork I need to take care of and, you know, bank deposits, stuff like that. So there is that extra time that goes into it. And you know, sometimes it is, like, oh, one more thing on my to-do list. I've got to remember to do this for the pantry and I can't forget it, file that report and everything. But, you know, I would probably say that's about the only thing, because I feel like, I'm just really blessed to be able to have the opportunity to do it. You know, if you do something you love, it doesn't feel like work. And if you enjoy it and you're doing it for the Lord, you know, it's your offering to Him. And I think I'm lucky and blessed, because a lot of people don't get to do work that they love. So I guess that would be my only cost. I think I'm curious to hear what the kids have to say, because they usually get drug along. I love it that our oldest is now 15 and our second oldest is 13, and they are wonderful help. And so they carry boxes and they help right along with me. And I really appreciate, and I'm hoping that that's cultivating that servant's heart and that work hard, even when you don't get anything in return ethic. I guess that's it.
Yeah. We don't pay the kids for helping. You know, that's what we have kids for. But you know, there is the occasional Mountain Dew that ends up in his cup holder or something like that.
You don't muzzle the ox when he's treading the corn.
Right.
Or whatever.
So we are coming to the end of our time, but I got one more question for you, Sarah. And this I hear this asked in a lot of different ways, but looking back on all the time and the starting, and we could probably have you back on and talk about the organization of getting it started. We're client choice, which means they get to pick out the food. Do you remember why we went that direction? Because we didn't benchmark this. We didn't go to any other pantries to see how they did this. We flew by the seat of our pants, but we decided that we wanted them to go shopping, not even knowing that was a thing at the time. And so do you remember why we did that?
Yeah. Our founding pastor, he grew up in the Depression era, and it really bothered him, the thought people were wasting food. And a lot of other pantries that would hand out a bag of food, I know, you know, for certain that they walk outside the pantry, they throw away what they don't want. They don't want that flour. They don't want those canned corn, peaches or whatever, you know. So the thought of people wasting something really bothered him. So we wanted to honor that, and we also wanted to make it, give them some dignity at a time when they're feeling very vulnerable and very you know, they're going through a really rough time. So if we can give them some dignity of picking out their own food, it's a little thing.
It takes them a little bit longer to get through the line. But no, and by the way, that wasn't the last question I had in mind.
Yes.
Yeah. So looking back through the years, what would you tell the younger Sarah before she gets started, if you could? Because there may be a little Sarah out there, a young Sarah. I have to say little Sarah because when we first got married, people thought that she was my daughter. I don't know if I looked that old or she looked that young.
Got a baby face.
So baby face Sarah, what would you tell? Or some young, I'm not going to say how old you were when we started this because then they could do the math. But you were pretty young. What would you tell someone?
I was about, 22, I think, when we started it. I would just say, go for it. Do whatever you need to do to convince your husband if he's the one that's dragging his feet. Because if you feel like this is what God wants you to do, you just step out in faith. And if it's his will, he'll provide for it. And
if not, then you have a great experience behind you. And you've learned from it. And you'll grow from it. And there won't be the harm. Yeah.
And I will say, we didn't mention it before, but in 2016, we served 10,000 people. That's 13 years open at that point. And it just blew my mind that we had grown to the capacity that we were able to do that.
And for you small micro churches out there, that's with the church supporting it of under 40 people. Our volunteers in the pantry almost outnumber the members in our church. And we don't have a lot of outside support, although we do have some.
Yeah, most of the support for the pantry comes from not the church structure.
Not the church anymore. Yeah, the church structure, but some of it from the church people.
Yes, church people and individual donors.
And individual
Nothing
donors.
Government. No government support whatsoever.
Yeah, I would recommend you don't go commodity. But that's just my personal opinion. There's just strings attached. We are totally independent. Somebody asked me when we got started, when we finally decided to do this, they kind of asked me, well, why are you doing this when there's so many other ones in Rockford? Why don't you just support them? And I'll tell you, because I get to sit across a table, I get to look in their eyes, and I get to speak into their life. Because I watch my wife, and she picks out food with somebody in mind. She'll pick out sugar-free for the diabetics, and we can really touch people's lives. That's why I don't like the government program. I like the church stepping up where God's called them, because that make all the difference. So, Sarah, do you have anything you'd like to close with or end with?
No, but thank you for having me on your podcast, and thank you for believing in me and taking a chance with me all those 14 almost years ago.
This is awesome, isn't it? And so, no, I'm glad. It's been a great ride, and our church has been blessed for it, truly has been. I'm going to say this once. It's on recording, so this will be the one podcast she'll listen to. I was wrong. And this was the way to go, and it was the thing to do. So thank you, Sarah, and thank you, audience, for listening. And I sure appreciate it. I appreciate you. And if you, if you want to talk about pantries and you're interested in it, or if you just want just some encouragement to step out in faith because you have a ministry in mind, you have something in mind. Whether you're a pastor, whether you're a church leader, or whether you're just a church member, you want to step out and you want to walk in that faith. We're here to encourage you, we're here to challenge you, and we're here to lift you up. You can email us at smallchurchmentor@gmail.com. You can visit us at smallchurchmentor.com, or you can look for us on Facebook. I think it'd be awesome if you look for us on Facebook and would actually start a discussion on there with us. Also, like us on WordPress or on smallchurchmentor.com. You could download our podcast on iTunes. Like us on iTunes and leave a comment. I sure appreciate your time. Thank you very much.